quoted everywhere, right? She's out front talking at rallies in the media because Mississippi's at the center of the Supreme Court case. Her organization has a budget of $100,000. She hasn't been able to leave her full-time job as a consultant, nor have her co-founders. And she's out there fighting for voting rights, thinking about infant and maternal mortality. You know, these are the underfunded organizations and the folks who are really on the front lines. And so yesterday, I was part of this call where a coalition of state organizations, these were actually former NARAL affiliates in the states, got together and made this big call. We need to expand the Supreme Court. And I thought it was really striking, this call to expand the Supreme Court in coalition with some progressive members of Congress was coming from the states, was coming from a place where abortion has already been almost restricted out of existence for so long.
Amy Littlefield, I want to thank you so much for being with us. This is a discussion that, of course, will continue on Democracy Now! Amy is abortion access correspondent for The Nation. Her new cover story we will link to at democracynow.org. It's called The Fight for Abortion After Roe Falls. And that does it for our show. A happy early birthday to Tamarie Astudio. Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzman, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Camille Baker, Shireen Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamarie Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Honey Masood, Mary Conlin, Juan Carlos Davila, Executive Director Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
By dumb hole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea. How are you, Althea?
Hi, good morning. I was doing jazz hands.
You did do jazz hands.
The people can't see it, but we're excited to be here this morning on The Gap, as per usual on a Friday morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. We are live in here doing the thing.
Yeah.
I just always love that song, hearing it peps me up. Who runs the girl? I like it how it's a question and an answer.
Yeah.
Who runs the world, girls?
Well, yeah, because you do a lot of asking questions, and it's good to get a couple answered once in a while.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I love both asking and answering.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, this is the gap. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, if the question is, how can you support KBOO?
Oh.
Do you feel like that was a good transition?
No, that was good.
We'll workshop it. I don't know.
I appreciate you bringing that up because, yes, I guess the question would be, what is KBOO? And I could say, for KBOO, radio is our business.
There we go.
That was clunky. It got out.
No, I mean, I didn't have to say it this time, so I feel like that's a win, to be honest.
I didn't write it. I am just repeating what is written.
It's a Hive Drive, guys. It's spring Hive Drive membership time. If spring is when you usually donate, now is a great time to do it. Or maybe it's your first time thinking about donating to KBOO. Couldn't be easier to do. KBOO.fm/give, or you can text KBOO to 44321, and it helps us out, making sure that we can continue to have non-corporate, volunteer-powered programming on the air, like The Gap and like many other wonderful shows on this station.
Indeed, and we are inching closer to the end of the drive, so this will be a great time for you to go to kboo.fm/give, click the donate button, or go on the mobile app. There is a donate button there, too. Or if you're into texting, you can text KBOO, that's KBOO, to 44321. And, of course, the ultimate way, snail mail, you can send in your donation to KBOO Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 972-1-4. Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's donated so far. We're making our way towards our goal thanks to you.
Sure.
So yeah, let's jump into the show. Before we start, just to give folks a little overview of what's going on today on this show, it is a call-in show, but we like to do it in two parts. So for the first half of the show, we'll be doing a week roundup of, let's be honest, a lot of bad news. And then in the second half, we'll be doing a community question where you can call in and talk to us. We'll be talking about primary election results. So if you got thoughts on that, please do stick around until 8:30, and we would love to chat with you about it.
Yes, thank you, Althea. That was beautifully said.
Thank you.
And yeah, unfortunately, like you mentioned, there has been a lot of incredibly bad news everywhere that we're looking, whether it's on a national level, international level, or just right here in Portland. And I think that there is a awareness of what's happening and you know, in Buffalo and locally, but while we don't necessarily want to you know, kind of repeat what's been said, we just kind of want to see how all of these things kind of like relate to one another, because there is unfortunately a through line that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be specific about what we're referencing, the supermarket hate crime massacre in Buffalo that happened this last weekend. There were two other mass shooting events this weekend that happened that piled up. And then also thinking about the local attempted arson at local Jewish and Muslim facilities in Portland. Someone's been arrested for that. So yeah, we just want to kind of talk about what's been going on there, and definitely thinking about like how does an individual react to all of this, you know, like terrifying and awful things happening, and how do you keep going? What is there that is productive, and what is, you know, what is there to I don't know, I don't want to say learn, that feels so cheap, you know, but thinking about how to, I don't know, and especially thinking about how to engage with people who are being pulled down this pipeline of alt-right conspiracy. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Sure, yeah, because there is, unfortunately, so when we look at the Buffalo massacre, it, you know, there's a lot of information is coming out about the shooter themselves and what they've been up to. And this was, you know, they've definitely have been, people have been alerted to this person beforehand, but for some reason the cops are like, oh, well, you know, just kids will be kids, I guess, which was, I mean, it was a red flag then, and I don't. It's just sad that it wasn't dealt with before there was like this much damage and violence happening. But they did have all these like very bizarre conspiracy theories that they were following, and they'd been you know, going down the rabbit hole, the algorithm hole, and just getting more and more radicalized to the point where. They went to a public setting and specifically wanted to kill Black folks, and they did that. They did just that. And that was in New York over the weekend. And we wanted to also bring back, because we didn't mention this earlier, this month.
It's a lot, yeah.
There was some hate crime happening locally. There's a local, I don't even, a person who, just a local bigot, tried to burn down a mosque and vandalize two Jewish temples. Mm-hmm. In North Portland, and luckily no one was hurt or anything. There was just damage, but it was very, very frightening. And I guess it would be a little silly to not try to unpack a little bit as to why would someone try to target specifically these places and these people. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the through line is because we do have our connectivity. If our enemies can see it, why can't we see it? Is kind of my thing. And yes, you mentioned definitely for both of these bigots, there was information about them posting conspiracy theories, eco-fascism. My gosh, like poor people and Black people are not the reason why the Earth is where it's at. It's the corporations and it's people who are way wealthier than we are. So please, like. Do a little. I don't even. Just, you know, keep your bigotry out of science, please.
Yeah, and I especially related to the local events. There was a listener actually wrote in and wanted us to talk about it and to, you know, and that was even before last weekend, right? Mm. And that we're getting hit over the head with what, you know, white supremacist, white nationalist ideologies will do to a person.
Sure.
And the way that people get indoctrinated into that stuff. I think I heard that the Buffalo shooter actually failed a psych eval and, like, it should have triggered all of these things to keep him from getting a gun, which, like, I feel like I can't even mentally engage with the gun control part of it because it feels like the least, not like the least of our problems, but it's like the least we could do, and I know we can't get it done, you know? There's no there's no interest in actually preventing people from doing mass shootings. So,
well, of course, unless it's someone who's pregnant, and then God forbid, and then they're a murderer if they decide to have an abortion, right?
Yeah, no, we've definitely.
It's like once you're out the womb, you go fend for yourself. But once you're in that bad boy, we're paws are all over it. This makes absolutely no sense. It makes sense because it's not for the people or for our safety or for our health. It's for profits.
Yeah, it's corporate driven, yes. And that, you know.
Even there was this really sick part of it, and it's another part of it that I read. I don't know where. I had it here somewhere. I can't recall if it's from the New York Times, and they had an article about how, so because the massacre went on online and was on Twitch, which is a video sharing and streaming platform, there, I guess folks had screen grabbed and recorded.
Oh, yeah.
What
no,
was
yeah, it was on Twitch for a couple.
Yeah. So it got on Facebook, and Facebook had ads.
You're kidding.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Yes, it's this New York Times in the notes that we have there. We can add it to the show notes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's really and I think that they mentioned that the ads that they had were like, I'll correct me if I'm wrong. It was about like horror games or like horror films or something like that, as the ad for it.
Ugh.
So it's just really sickening. So that's another part of it, as well as the gun control, as well as, I mean, this is just so. It's so disgusting, and it's really overwhelming. And I think that I just want to, while I think that a lot of us are kind of like at the edge of whatever, I think that, and it is very overwhelming. I think it's important to understand how they are connected, how our lived experience and shared experience are connected. So the anti-Semitic conspiracy that fueled the Buffalo massacre and the mass shooting resulted in the death of Black people by the hands of armed vigilantes. The same hate that fueled the local bigot to set fire to a mosque while people were praying inside is the same exact hate that drove him to write Death to Jews and Vandalize a Temple here in Portland. Like I said before, if our enemies can see our connectivity, when will we and stand in solidarity with one another? And it's important to be kind to yourself, firstly, and then to one another, and create that room for solidarity and coalition building, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, you know, personal and community burden to like digest these things and to just, you know, understand them, because it's easy to be like, ah, you know, that I can't think, like, or try to compartmentalize, you know.
Sure.
And I think that there's, you know, an a way to swing too far in the opposite side of
definitely.
The pendulum of, like, it's totally possible to get in way too deep and, like, find yourself fully in despair. And there's got to be kind of like that middle spot of, like, no, I'm not ignoring these things that are happening in my community, in my country, and I'm not going to become a nihilist and throw my hands up that nothing can be done. And yeah, one of the things that I wanted to highlight, is it okay if I talk a little bit about deprogramming and stuff?
Yeah, that's a big, also another part of it. There's so many different parts of this. Please,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, because I want to talk about the radicalization of white nationalists and alt-right folks. I don't know why I said folks. That's, like, so nice. Alt-right losers.
Nice.
On the internet. And, you know, They need to be bullied. They need to be shamed. You know, that's part of it. Is like any kind of, like, any kind of both sidesism or like trying to be polite and engage with those ideas is do not do it. Because, and I think, you know, people who are, you know, even like lightly familiar with it, you can see like the steps that people go down. And even having like interacted with YouTube and you like, you know, you open it up in a browser that you don't normally use it in, or you like look up one video that's like somehow tangentially related to all of these things, and suddenly the recommendeds like pull you down this whole thing. And so, I mean, a lot of it can oftentimes start, especially when we're talking about, you know, young white men who are dissatisfied, like it starts with your Ben Shapiro's and your Jordan Peterson's and your, you know, encouraging that like you, if you want to be a man, if you want to, you have to be masculine in these ways. And like, women hate beta males, you know, like this whole like alpha male thing, the sigma male thing, like all of these are like enticing. So, you know, in thinking about, if you're like a white dude and you're thinking about, you know, why isn't my life the way that I want it to be? Mm-hmm. Instead of blaming systemic issues, you know, for example, capitalism, the disappearance of the middle class. There's no, like, it's impossible to survive on working class salaries these days. You know, like all of those things about what opportunities were afforded to older generations that aren't available now. There's a lot of ways, like it's dissatisfying, very understandably so, you know, but to then find blame in that on women or sexual partners, right? And then that gets turned into, well, also minorities and also like these non-Christian religious communities, right? It's how people get sucked down into it. And so as much as I also think that it's like, I don't want to know what all they're talking about, because that can really like mess with your head. Not like that you believe it, but like, oh God, that's really what they're saying about people like me. But I think that it's important to have at least some familiarity with these conspiracy theories, because you can see the warning signs, especially when you're thinking about people in your life or people that maybe you know online. Knowing what the implications are is important. And I think we've talked about on this show, like, hey, just because, don't like let the implications of one opinion spiral you into thinking that somebody is fully like against your own existence, because a lot of the time people have a lot of varied opinions and are not considered wholly under like one white nationalist ideology, right? But this isn't necessarily that same thing. And because of those varied like opinions and whatever they've consumed so far, like it's important to, you know, quarantine those ideologies and engage with people to think more critically about this stuff, and to read things that they don't agree with, you know, to read things that aren't coming from like some seemingly successful white dude telling you about, you know, I got rich this way, and if you're feeling bad, it's because there's poor people in your neighborhood, you know. But anyway, I also saw an interesting TikTok this week that was talking about kind of like how the alt-right has grown, you know. And that under Obama, like, it wasn't, they were shamed, you know, they were, like, in hiding for those 8 years because it wasn't acceptable to hold white nationalist ideologies. And the resurgence that we've seen is because of Trump, because we had a white nationalist in office, and that it was so permissive towards these things. But I'm looking at this Axios article that is talking about deprogramming and fighting radicalism online. And they're saying that, you know, social media companies' decisions to ban or try to act more on these extremist ideologies, like Twitter banning Donald Trump. Obviously, Facebook hasn't gone far enough, based on what you said. But that this article says that when it comes to coordinated de-radicalization efforts, the U.S. is behind most European countries by 25 to 30 years.
Eek. Oh, so, I thought you were going to say months.
No, 25 to 30 years. There's not, you know, coordinated plan to handle domestic extremism. And all of the heartbreaking tragedies that we've seen over the past, you know, decade are all tied to the same thing when we're talking about domestic extremism, you know?
For sure. That's also can be a little... And I love, thank you so much for breaking all of that down. I wonder, do you think that there could be a way for this to be manipulated into creating like a type of, what is it, Patriot Act 2, you know, where it's like, oh, yeah. all the, you know, so that, like, all of this is happening, so we need to really keep an eye out on all of this. And then again, it's like, well, and who's, what is considered extremist? What is, and of course, you and I can you know, break this down, but when it's coming from a body that is the most violent, the most white supremacist, and, you know, how, like, who do we entrust, or who has the accountability, or, like, the whatever in, to actually make these decisions and then have like something to follow up with it? Because we've seen, I mean, I'm just thinking of all the shooters that, I mean, they got, what have they got, what, McDonald's afterwards or something after committing the shooting? And then the cops were like, oh, you look hungry, here's some food. While you have, you know, black boys in hoodies and Skittles getting shot by, again, vigilantes, Zimmerman. So it's, it can, yeah. So that's just the only thing that comes to mind with what you're saying. Well, yeah, definitely there needs to be some sort of something. I worry about what tools will be used to, because, you know, the, it's not kindness. It's, you know, it is a force with more force is all that we know as far as systems.
Right. Yeah. And, like, having a just a purely, like, punitive approach is, like, not effective.
Right.
Definitely. Like, most people who, like, study this kind of stuff, or who, you know, independently do this kind of work, there's, like, cult deprogrammers that are now, like, involved with, you know, pulling people out of the alt-right. There's a nonprofit, I don't, I can't remember if they're local or just, or national, but that, you know, really try to reach young men at that, like, 12, 13, 14 year old age to talk to them, you know, and because, you know, if you're on Xbox Live, that's where kids are getting radicalized, you know.
I hate Xbox, even in the early 2000s, it's like, I hated it.
Look, I haven't played in some time, but I don't know that it's gotten any better. So that, so there are people out there doing work for it. And I think also just that the failure of the systems that do exist of, like, hey, if someone sort of has, like, domestic terrorism in mind, like, don't let them get a gun. And the NRA is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody that we're bankrolling, put your foot down right here, because this...
We thought this was America.
We can't even let the buck start at not letting people who are conspiracy-minded and trying to do a hate crime not have a gun. If you want to do a hate crime and you can't have a gun, this isn't America, okay? Like, that's, that's their perspective, you know? And that is what governs all of this. And yeah, so there, and I mean, there's also, like, you know, individuals that, that pull themselves out or begin to see the cracks, you know?
Sure.
And I, from what I've been reading and from what I've seen people saying, it's like, you know, like a care for oneself, like an interest in self-betterment that is not at the expense of others' lives or, you know, blaming one's, you know, malaise on random people that you don't know. Like, that is like an important thing to recognize.
Sure. Yeah. And I think there's just been so much with the because it's been ramping up to this, you know. There was the whole the critical race theory stuff that was happening, and then there
and
was,
this is just highlights how important critical race theory is.
And then the whole what is it, like, the queer don't say gay bill. And then the abortion, you know, stuff that's happening now. And it's not like these, you know, these things don't happen in a chamber, in an edit, was it a chamber, like, separately or in quarantine or from one another. They are
the same
targeted
chamber.
Definitely targeted towards, like, a specific people. And then you wonder, like, why, like, I mean, I don't want to say then you wonder, because I don't want to, you know, stipulate or anything, but in that milieu, when, you know, there's already someone is prone to, like, believing in conspiracy theories, and then they're seeing all of these things pop out, and you have a lot of organizers who do use these conspiracy theories, like, they imply towards the conspiracy theories and the type of stuff that they do. It's like the Don't Say Gay bill stuff. Like, my God, if they just leave gay people alone, please. And you can see that all of this is ramping up, and it just feeds whatever
it feeds
there.
The machine.
Yes,
totally.
Feeds the machine to make this happen.
And it feeds people in these communities, you know. And that, you know, there's been, I would say there's been, like, a little bit of improvement in terms of, you know, media outlets not using people's names and faces nearly as much as they used to, so that there's like less of a broad sense of martyrdom for people who, like, you know, are not deep in the sauce, I guess, of, like, you know, whatever conspiracy theory these people believed in. They're not getting widespread acclaim, so, like, tick that one off the list, I guess. But I don't know.
And then, you know, like, it's going to be like the 2 weeks after, and you have all these analysts, and again, like, mostly white dudes, yeah, talking about, like, these theories and these conspiracy theories. And yeah, I'm sorry, but y'all were the same ones that were saying, like, you know, like, oh, but, you know, when the Ukraine stuff was happening, oh, but they look just like us. It's like, no, this is across the board, and we need to reinvigorate everything that we know about these systems and put different people in there. Like,
yeah,
time's up. You know, this is, like, not... There's so much coalition building, and there's, like I said, these things aren't happening. You know, like, well, the stuff that happened in the mosque and the church, in the temples.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these didn't happen in these communities, and they didn't talk with one another. There was talking, you know, folks were talking to one another. Doors were being opened for one another to have these conversations of, like, what, how can we move forward as a community?
Yeah.
And I think that this is what we need to do. Is not, like you said, have the pendulum swing all the way the other side. So now, you know, if someone is coming in or it is in the area, you know, they need to get, like, pat down by cops or something.
Yeah, because, no.
You know, so, and this is, I think, how we reach and understand it. Not even if we reach anything, just to have the conversation, just to open the doors for like coalition building, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I will point out in this Axios article that I'm looking at here that, like, as you were saying, in terms of like, government punitive stuff is not really going to work. And also, like, any kind of widespread federal program is probably also going to fail because
nobody trusts the
government, least of all conspiracy theorists.
They have one already. It's called jail and prison. And that's where a lot of this stuff also permeates from.
Yeah, definitely.
You hear me?
But
they,
like,
already did that.
That public and private, or private and, you know, these maybe publicly funded private programs.
Sure.
Are more likely to be effective and to be able to reach people, to create, you know, counseling, to try to access, to get to kids and get into schools. And, you know, hey, here's some warning signs, dude. Like, don't get involved in this. Any kind of, like, you know, frustration and upset you're feeling is, like, not... First of all, in no way should you do a hate crime as a result of, like, that. And I feel like it's happened so much that it's like, well, yeah, those two things are, like, directly connected. Like, I'm a dissatisfied young white man. Better murder people. Jesus. Like, that is the conversation. If you're a white dude, you should be so embarrassed. You should be so embarrassed. And that there's, like, a role to play as, like, you know, there's activists in marginalized communities that have been calling this stuff out for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be listened to by these people who have now been conditioned to hate them, right? Mm. So there's, like, the role to play of, you know, white dudes, dads, get in the game, you know, talk to your kids and make sure that they're understanding this stuff and that violence is not appropriate for them to be enacting on anyone else. But yeah, just these conflicting systems, you know, that there's the American ethos that white men are owed everything, and then the reality that, you know, our system is incredibly broken and shouldn't reward white men exclusively, and that dissonance drives people to these kinds of dangerous ideologies and going deep on one podcast personality or another.
Sure.
And I mean, we're like radio personalities. Don't go deep on us. Like, you can if you want to, but I, we're not spouting the kind of conspiracy nonsense. We're not selling you, you know, protein powder or whatever.
You mentioned something about dads and parents, and I'm not a parent or anything. I do have one, and it got me to thinking. Saw this Twitter repost, and it was something along the lines of, you know, white men have been doing, you know, X amount of mass shootings, yet you don't see a government-funded research study about why white men are so inherently violent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a callback to the Moynihan report, in which they were basically saying, listen, black people are super violent because of absent fathers. It's like,
right,
really?
Right, right.
Really? Oh my God! You did how? What? Get out of here, sir. And it's just like I think that the way to proceed is to count on and hopefully be able to support and fund these organizations that have been doing this for a very long time on a person-to-person, local level, and not don't get the the feds are never gonna they are there for American interests, and they'll find these American interests whether it's in your womb or
but
in
I mean
your
that's
tomb.
The thing, it is an American interest, you know.
Oh, there she is, there it is, go ahead, break it down.
No, I was just gonna also point out that it got to the like that Biden said that white supremacy is a poison this week. It's like, whoa. I mean, good, but I'm glad that the president is saying that kind of stuff. I'm glad that, you know, we're not both sidesing as Trump wanted to. There's good people both sides.
So speaking of some community action, there is some stuff happening on the 20th. Oh, today's the 20th. Oh.
Hey.
I'm still messed up from February being the shortest month of the year.
We bring it up every show.
Good.
How time is passing and it's February's fault for being 28. Just wait till we get a leap year, huh? What are we gonna complain about then?
I can't handle a leap year.
It'll be a good year.
You know, maybe. I can't handle a leap year.
You were saying, sorry.
So I'm just pulling it up to take a look-see. There is a vigil that is going to be held today at Peninsula Park from 5 to 7 p.m. Masks are required. I see I'm seeing a lot of stuff is requiring masks now.
Yeah, we had crazy COVID uptick over the past month. Sorry, go ahead.
And this vigil is to honor the lives stolen at the Buffalo Massacre, Peninsula Park, at 5 p.m. And I think that it is led by the PDX Black Youth Movement here in town. Peninsula Park is a great place to go. And they, you know, they have flowers, a little space. You got, you know, your dogs. So that is something that's happening today, as well as the climate march. That's also happening today, right?
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Oh goodness, it's active today.
It is active. and then I do believe that there is another, vigil on Sunday. I can grab some more information about that in a minute.
Yeah, it
is
today. But yes.
So it goes to show, you know, we are actively showing up for one another. And, you know, these places, these solidarity meets are ways where you can meet just other people in your community that are fed up with this and that want to find some action. And what's the best action but to love, but to engage, you know, but to make a friend. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm telling you, you combine powers together and the world just becomes a little bit bigger, you know?
Yeah.
So that is happening, and we'll have some more info on the, we'll reshare their post on the webpage.
Yeah.
But yes, I'll see anything that you have to say before we pop into our midway song.
I would just say, don't be afraid of, like, learning the history and the warning signs and the false history that these conspiracy theorists peddle. Because I know, even in myself for a long time, I was like, I don't want to go there. I can't get involved. And kind of staying on that surface level, like, that's dumb. I can't believe they really think that, you know. It's like, well, it's actually tied to all of these other things.
Sure. So,
like, pay attention, you know. And that there are a lot of resources out there, if it's for you or if it's for someone in your life that you know, that may need some deprogramming support of these conspiracy theorists and these conspiracy theories, excuse me, from that stem from the alt-right. Those resources are out there. And, hey, now is a great time to seek them out.
Thank you so much.
Let's hit the midway.
We are going to go on a super quick musical break, and we'll be back in a couple of moments. Stay tuned.
This version is way from
Thank you for sticking around. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. How are you, Althea?
I'm good. How are you, Tammy?
There we go. I can hear myself now.
That's our backdoor introduction. Yeah, thank you guys for sticking around to the second half. We're going to be doing our community question in just a moment. But right before we get there, just want to remind folks, it is our spring membership Hive Drive Buzz Buzz. So if you want to help support KBOO, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And I want to say thank you to Linda and Eric who've supported us this morning. Thank you so much. All right, the community question. We're pivoting, folks.
Pivoting.
The music is the fulcrum around which we pivot. I just remembered the word fulcrum yesterday.
You got to use it.
I got really excited. I love to incorporate new vocabulary or old vocabulary. But yeah, we want to know, what are your thoughts on the, I guess, preliminary election results in Oregon? So I can't speak to what's going on in Washington, but yeah, Portland County, Metro, State primary elections. We do have those preliminary results. So what are your thoughts? Please do give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Boom, 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 boom. That's me doing a drum roll.
I can do a physical one.
Do you have any first impressions off of this?
Well, there's definitely some exciting things coming from it. In all likelihood, there's going to be an all-female gubernatorial ballot. Can I just say I don't like the word gubernatorial? Can we just say governor race? I'll probably end up doing both, but I feel like gubernatorial is like too many syllables and it turns you off. But yeah, so there'll be a Democrat, a Republican, and an independent candidate, all women, on the ballot in November. So that is an exciting milestone, regardless of which of them you end up agreeing with. Preliminary results are relatively solid in most counties, except for Clackamas. Shout out Clackamas. As we discussed a couple weeks ago about, their results are relatively cut and dry, but I would say that it's important to recognize it's a failure. I was going to say a whoopsie-do, but that is maybe cutting it a little bit too lightly. They sent out a bunch of misprinted ballots with misprinted barcodes, so they had to be hand-counted and apparently refused state help to try to remedy it, which the Secretary of State is, I don't know, looking into, getting upset about, hoping doesn't happen in November. And because folks could mail their ballots up until Tuesday, some of these results are still in that preliminary phase, making sure that everything post-dated made its way in. So we're still talking preliminary results, but a lot of them are not too like down to the wire, I would say.
Are there any ones that really, I don't know if you had mentioned it, that really threw you off or caught you by surprises?
Let me think. There's one. I mean, I think it's tough, especially for like Portland city elections, mm-hmm. when it is like a wide candidate pool and it can be immediately decisive. For example, the race for Dan Ryan's seat, I was surprised that that one didn't get a runoff. That was kind of I had felt that that was going to happen, but Dan Ryan ended up netting 54% of the vote, which is that majority.
Whoa, why? I mean, okay, cool. Sorry.
I don't know if we can go too hard on that, but the people want Dan Ryan back, I suppose. 54% of them love the safe rest villages that we still haven't gotten. It's just nice that he brings it up at least like every 6 months. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that. No, I'm working on it. I got
like
it.
It's like me in February being the shortest month of the year.
And then the Joanne Hardesty's reelection, she netted 43% of the vote, so mm-hmm. she'll be heading to a runoff with either Vadim Mazursky or Renee Gonzalez, one of these more centrist candidates that both netted around 22% of the vote. So
I was surprised. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at. And when there's only one of them, maybe less sneezing. I don't know. But anyway, so there'll be a runoff in November. But yeah, I think it's tough because, you know, people are a lot less likely to, I mean, they're not likely to, they're less likely to vote in off years, right? Mm. If it's not, you know, a presidential election year, people are less likely to vote. So it's a midterm year this year, and then it's a midterm primary, and then but the midterm primary can be entirely decisive for city level nonpartisan races. It's kind of crazy. Like, what portion of the population is actually weighing in on those things, especially if you're not an affiliated voter, you're not getting a Democratic or Republican ballot, you're just getting the nonpartisan one. That there's, you know, less participation. So I don't know, my feeling is that I guess I just wish that there was an automatic runoff for the two highest vote getters. And I can understand that, like, for a city level race, that could maybe be a waste of resources if one person like trounced everybody else, you know, and like that this is the candidate. Why continue to like have to spend money on this kind of thing? But it is not like voters aren't participating. So how did you really get that much of an election victory? You know what I mean? And I guess not participating is definitely like relative, but. Anyway, those are some of my musings. Do you want to talk to us about what you thought of these primary election results?
Sure.
503-231-8187.
503-231-8187. I'm looking at the webpage right now.
Yeah.
OregonVotes.org. Unofficial primary elections.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised for commission for was it position two with Joanne Hardis. I was surprised.
Position three.
I thought that it'd be, I thought that she'd kind of like dominate. I mean, she kind of did in a way, but I'm kind of I like this idea of maybe not specific for Portland, but this idea of and I think we talked about it a little bit in like 2020. When was it? When was the last election?
2020.
2020. Jesus.
1984.
Pulling a Ted Cruz right there. In 2020, when...
Wow, you didn't talk about babies?
Get your stuff together.
I'm sorry.
See, now I forgot what quipping. I was going
to
say.
No, I'm sorry.
I forgot.
No, you were talking about the last election in 2020, and then we joked that it was longer ago, because time...
Right.
Again, and we're not good at perceiving time on this show.
Oh, right. I remember. So there was a lot of conversations around, like, how popular votes and, you know, how we're voting right now kind of just leaves us with the worst of both... the worst options.
It's
you
a
know?
Race to the bottom.
Yes, just extremists. So there were a lot of different conversations around how we could possibly get, like, revision what elections look like and having kind of like finding the medium or the mean, you know, like canceling it from the outside in, mm-hmm. and then having the people's will actually compete for the position. And I wonder if this is what we'll see here. And yeah, so that was something that I was surprised about.
Yeah.
And what else was there? Was one other thing. Oh yeah, Dan Ryan.
You can't just whisper Dan Ryan and then start snickering. I don't know if that's a lot. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
See, but now you got me laughing. Well, I want to hear what other people think. 503-231-8187. What was your reaction to the primary? What did you think about the results? What were you thinking about when you voted? If you want to share that, you're welcome to. And then now we got a big old campaign season ahead of us up until good old November
6th. Oh boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty. We do have a call on the line. I'm going to connect them real quick.
You grabbed that. Yeah, if other folks want to call in, that number is 503-231-8187. We'd love to hear what you have to say. What were you thinking of? What do you think of these results? How did the process go for you? Because there were some changes this year. We'd love to know.
And we do have friend of the show, Harry, on the line. Harry, can you hear us?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you for Althea for slaying the dino Schrader. So he lost, I assume, correct?
Yeah, no, he lost pretty large, I would say. I don't know why I said it like that, but yeah, he did.
Oh, okay, good. That's a good thing. So I'm glad. I mean, I was when he was in the House, I was wondering how come the Democratic Party never censured him, because the Republicans censure people that they don't like, but we didn't have to. There was enough voters here in Oregon were paying attention to what he was doing that they finally they got rid of him, even though he had President Biden's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, President is doing the same thing that Trump is. He wants to be kingmaker, but he lost on this. But the national news haven't picked up on this for any reason.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of coverage of what Trump-endorsed candidates, how they fared. A lot of them did quite well. A couple of them lost, or it hasn't been decided yet. But yeah, I would agree that the Biden nom didn't quite... was not decisive in this case. And, you know, incumbents have a lot of advantages. So seeing someone like Kurt Schrader get primaried is definitely significant.
Okay, great. And thank you for slaying him, since the rest of us couldn't vote in that election. And you could, correct?
I do live in the new District 5.
Oh, the new District 5. Okay.
Well, yeah, because we got redistricting. I think that probably motivated some people as well.
Uh-huh.
To get more involved, because they might have a new representative options even.
Yeah, I see. Okay, thank you for taking my question.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one. Thank you, Harry. If other folks want to call in, please do. 503-231-8187.
And we do have Sue on the line. Sue, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I just want to make a correction. I don't think Kurt Schrader is actually... I lost this race yet.
Okay, let me double check it for us.
Because Clackamas County votes.
Oh, right. True.
Haven't been counted, and this is his home base, Clackamas County, and most of those ballots that were messed up were Democratic ballots.
Okay.
So I think it's too soon to say that.
Oh yeah, I guess we're at 50% and it's like a 60-40 split with Jamie in the lead.
Okay, well, I'm hoping it stays that way, but I am not so certain. We lost a couple of commissioner races out here that mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen happen. We lost one of our the only kind of left leaning commissioner, Sonia Fisher, lost her race, which was really disappointing to me.
Mm.
The woman, the county clerk for Clackamas County, she is up for re-election in November. A woman named Catherine McMullen is running against her, and I strongly feel that we need to get Sherry Hall out of there. She's obviously not very competent. This is not her first problem that she's had, and this is a big one. And the fact that she wouldn't take help, that's really discouraging. So anyway, they're hand counting all the ballots. I'm hoping that my ballot's been counted. I don't know that it has. So
yeah,
anyway,
are they still sending out the notifications in Clackamas County that when your ballot does get counted?
I can go on and look.
Mm-hmm.
I think isn't it just received? I don't know. I'll have to look.
Well, I'm in Multnomah County, so I can't totally speak to it. But I got a notification when it was received and when it was counted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't get any of those notifications. So,
progress. And
yeah,
I got it in a text. We could do that.
I think you can look it up, though. So I should do that. But I know that the majority of those ballots that the scan was smeared, those were Democratic ballots. I find that very, very interesting. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it is kind of interesting that that's the case. I read someplace yesterday that it had to do with the length of the fibers in the paper.
What?
That was printed on. Yeah.
They changed their paper stock?
I don't know.
Wow.
I'm
going to look that up. That's kind of a wild claim. No, it was the paper's fault for being printed on, I would say.
Well, it was like it was longer fibers or something. I don't know. I read it on the internet. You know, you can't trust that. Anyway, so that's my take on stuff. A warning about Christine Drazin. She is far, far farther right than she puts on. She has that little soft-spoken voice, and she's very intelligent. But I asked her personally if she believed in climate change. She said she did, but she said Oregon was green enough. So she is not going to work for climate change at all.
Mm.
And I don't think Betsy, what's her name, is Johnson, is it Betsy Johnson? Mm-hmm. She is also not, she's not going to work on climate change either. So it makes me really sad. People can't see that that's probably the biggest thing we to face at this time. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, apparently a bunch of Clackamas County elections workers have resigned because of it.
But really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Looking at KGW. Not resigned. I take that back. I read that wrong. But they do have they have until June 13th to certify the election. So maybe my expectations of a quick turnaround are not.
I think it's going to take them a
inaccurate.
While. I know the first day it was like they counted 148 ballots in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know whether they've sped that up any, but. That's a long slog.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and then there's a Seattle Times headline of like there's a fiasco in Oregon, vote by mail. They started it, and look at how bad they're doing now.
Oh, now they getting some talking points for you know who.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. When I first saw it, that's what I thought. You know, I thought, oh, geez, they're just gonna make it so that vote by mail looks really bad. When, you know, Sherry Hall is a partisan hack. She's a Republican. She likes to appoint Republicans to places in her, you know, and she's very partisan. And so, you know, who knows? Did she put the fly in the ointment? I'm not sure. I'm not going to place blame there.
Yeah.
It could be just a mistake, but you know what? She's in charge. And where's the, she should be checking things out before those ballots go out. They should have noticed that. So anyway,
yeah, definitely.
That's my take on the primary. So good luck with Portland. I hope that you guys can get a decent city commission where they divide it up amongst the different districts, because that only makes sense.
That is stuff that's coming down later in November, the charter review. That will be exciting. But yeah, thank you, Sue.
Appreciate
you. You're welcome.
Have a good
Bye.
One. If other folks want to call in, we're talking primary election results, 503-231-8187.
You know, if you ever have any issues with something or like homework or something, you should say, no, it's not me, it's the fibers and the paper. That's going to be my new thing.
Well, you know that somebody has a real, you know, way about them when the headline is calling them an unapologetic county elections head. Like, I'm not sorry that this is going to take us, like, nearly a month to re-hand bubble each ballot by hand. And then now the Jamie McLeod Skinner's campaign is filing an elections campaign, a complaint, about unequal access to the vote count in Clackamas County, because we're looking at, you know, half of the vote for that Senate, for that representative seat, that they are not apparently having.
History is repeating itself. Yes,
an observer for the Schrader campaign was allowed into the building at 7:30 a.m. Thursday, an hour before the McLeod Skinner campaign observer was allowed into the observation room. Huh. Interesting. I mean, it's a 20 percentage point lead and like 9,000 votes, but we still got 40,000 more to count in Clackamas County. So we shall see what happens there. I am, you know, it's definitely an interesting one that is going on there.
And it's cool to have like these updates online, you know, just being able to see what's going on from the OregonVotes.gov. The last update was this morning at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
You know, really get in there, see what's happening. 33%, it seems like, for Washington and Multnomah, or in the 30s, mid to high 30s. That's cool. It could be better, but, you know, it could be better.
It can always be a little bit better than
it
is
worse.
Right now.
It could be better, too.
Yeah. Yeah, just even looking at the numbers of, like, you know, so the counties that are in the new District 5, Deschutes, 91% have reported now, which is, what, 4 days, 3 days after the election? Multnomah has 92% of its votes counted. 76% of Linn County voters, 81% of Marion County voters, 9% of Clackamas County voters.
No, Clackamas. No.
Come on. Get in the game. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll
what happens there.
Maybe no next week. Definitely yeah, maybe, by the 13th.
Well, was the 13th a Friday? That'd be exciting.
It's oh darn, it's a Monday.
Dang it.
Okay. So we'll know. In
sorry.
4 weeks. 5 weeks.
Mark your calendars, folks. That's when Clackamas County has to get it done.
We'll do like a countdown clock, like yeah, you know, it did.
We'll go. Block out all the programming. We need to be live and just refreshing the page.
Well, we are just about, we have about 5 minutes left to the program.
Yeah.
And we just want to encourage listeners, if, you know, this type of programming speaks to you and, you know, if you love KBOO, want to support KBOO, we are looking for that support right now during our business hive drive. Did I do it right, Althea?
You said it elegantly.
Business. Thank you.
Much like a bee.
Thanks. There's a busy bee over here. Uh-huh. Your support means the world to us. Literally keeps the lights on here. And you can go to kboo.fm/give to help continue this experiment in radio. You can also text KBOO, that's KBOO, to 44321. Or good old snail mail. You can mail in your donation to KBOO Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Your support is everything, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And let's see, what do we have anything else to wrap up here? I know we only got a couple more minutes. If you are interested in calling, you can, but you have to keep it short at 503-231-8187. But before we wrap up, we just wanted to remind you all that there is some action happening this weekend, or actually today, this Friday. Oh, my. At Peninsula Park, it's a vigil for the folks, for the lives lost in Buffalo, New York during the massacre, hate crime shooting that happened over the weekend, as well as the climate march.
Yeah, starting in a couple hours, actually, down at City Hall, 11 a.m., going from City Hall to Revolution Hall for a climate festival that lasts through the evening. So if you're at work, like some of us will have to be shortly, maybe there's stuff to do in the evening there. And just from, you know, preliminary reading, they're definitely like it's a youth climate march, and they're definitely focused on Portland, the city, stopping the expansion of new gas infrastructure, like from Northwest Natural. Obviously, time before, we talked about the Zenith process. Zenith process. That's what I said. Okay, not my best work.
We had
about
some
that,
good
guys.
Ones, the Zenith project, too. Some good. Yeah. We had some good back and forth.
We had some good bits about it, all right?
So I guess we'll just wrap up here. And I personally, Tammy, that's me, not speaking for you, Althea.
Okay.
I want to just encourage people not to become overwhelmed and to seek community and to seek each other and to be kind to yourself, because once you do that, then you can be nice and kind to other people in your community, and then maybe hopefully people who don't look like you at all, maybe strangers even, who knows.
I've heard it's possible.
It is possible. And I'll repeat it again, like Derek told me once, be nice to each other so we can be dangerous together.
I love that.
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much to everybody for supporting us. Thank you so much for listening to The Gap. I'm Althea, that's Tammy. And we're glad to have shared another morning with you, and we'll be back next time.
Yes, Veteran Voice is up next. See ya.
See ya. Goodbye. Girls, we run this.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy